Welcome to Fresh Research, a podcast from the nonprofit Times. We explore some of the most interesting and sometimes provocative findings focused on the world of nonprofits. Thanks for tuning in. Here at the nonprofit Times, we see tons of great, fresh research. So in each episode, we take a recent study or survey and have a conversation with the authors about what they found and why they think it's important for charities. We'll also give away some books and give you access to other valuable information from the nonprofit Times.
Charity Navigator is out with a new rating system. Program expense ratios will still play a role. The nonprofit plans to release sections of its Encompass rating system over the next 2 years. We get the scoop directly from President and CEO Michael Thatcher.
So Charity Navigator has gone from now, it used to rate 9,000 charities. Now you're all the way up to 160,000 charities with the new Encompass rating system.
That's correct. Yeah.
And so 9,000 nonprofits are rated, still rated by the stars. People might be familiar with the 1 to 4 star rating, or I should say, I think 0 to 4 stars rating. And now the 160,000 that are rated through Encompass are on a 100 scale. So those don't overlap at all, and they'll be living together, those two ratings?
Yes, and I guess technically it's 9,000 that are in the star system, and it's about 151,000 that are in the new system. So total it would be 160,000. Mm-hmm. The big difference is, and I think the spirit of the new system was that, one, we have a significant amount of data that's been made available to us in a machine-readable digital format from the IRS and actually from the nonprofits themselves. So the organizations that are included in the new system are organizations that have e-filed their Form 990 for at least 3 years in a row. And that's permitted us to do much greater automation than goes into the STAR system, and on many levels provide access to a significantly larger set of nonprofits and actually open the doors to rating smaller nonprofits, younger nonprofits, and organizations that we previously didn't evaluate based on either where their revenue was coming from or type of focus.
Mm-hmm. And under the old STAR system, what were the basic qualifications to get a rating? It was something like 7 years of financials at least?
7 years of financial filings, $1 million in annual revenue, minimum of 40% of your revenue coming from individual donations. And there were certain cause areas that we didn't cover. We didn't cover, for example, land trusts. We didn't cover nonprofit hospitals. We also didn't look at universities. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would say one thing that goes into the STAR system that we were unable to automate it today is being able to specify cause. And that's really important when you're looking at the structure of an organization, and particularly if you're looking at their financials. Whether you're a food bank or a museum, you know, your financials are going to be radically different. And defining cause in a way that is sort of easily determined through automation is, we're not quite there yet.
The previous rating system for the stars, you needed at least $1 million in revenue. Now you go down as far as $250,000 in revenue under the Encompass system?
We do. In other words, the low bar is filing a 990, right? Mm-hmm. So if you file a 990 and you've got 3 years of 990s, we'll be able to evaluate you. About 30% of the 150,000 are at around 250,000. I'd say the average across this new group is about $500,000 in annual revenue.
The 151,000 that are now rated, that's strictly on the finance and accountability beacon that was released.
That's correct.
Gotcha. So they'll still be, that number will increase as you release more indicators?
Yes, and I think the next phase where we bring in new indicators is going to be less dependent. In fact, it won't be dependent on IRS filings. It will be dependent on nonprofit data that is either made available to us directly or through other third-party providers and some of our partners. And I think this is an important point because the next indicator, which right now we're looking at impact and results and really trying to ascertain, does a charity deliver on its actual stated mission? There's less data available. About 3 years ago, we started running an experiment with what was at the time GuideStar, but now Candid, Plassey, Global Giving, and most recently Impact Matters joined that group. And we called this an impact data experiment. And what we did was we collected the information that those organizations, those partners, had collected on the performance and results that those nonprofits had submitted to them. And then we started putting that into nonprofit profiles. So today on Charity Navigator's website, there's about 30,000 nonprofit profiles that have some form of results or impact information listed. It's not part of any rating today, but it's there in an effort to get donors to focus on the actual results as well as to encourage nonprofits to report on their outcome.
Mm-hmm. So this first leg that was released, Finance and Accountability, the next one will be Impact and Results. You expect those to come out every 6 months or so for the next 2 years?
That's the current plan. And we want to make good on that. We're already, we got this first release out. The team's now focusing in on the next set, the next beacon, and that should be going out definitely within the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be careful. I think there's a seasonality to giving, and we've also been through, needless to say, rather a difficult period. And so we're not trying to be disruptive to the sector. So the timing of when we put the new beacon out will probably be coordinated appropriately around the giving season, so as to not create a randomizing or a distracting effect to the nonprofits. We'd rather not do that.
Right. And was there a reason why you didn't release all at once, all four, or is it just a matter of getting that up to speed?
It's really working in what I would call an agile mindset of, from this agile software development cycles, which is about getting some information out, getting feedback on it, modifying it, adding to it, and keep building as you go. The reality was that we were sitting on this data set. We had a cleaned up database of IRS information that provided some meaningful insights, and we wanted to get that out to the donors as fast as we could. One of the issues we have is that there's a trust issue, and donors today, they're still very anxious about where's my money going. Ultimately, we want to move that dialogue to what's the money done? So what has it actually accomplished? Has there been impact? But sometimes I hear this, and this is one of the things that keeps me up at night, is when someone says to me, I don't want to give to an organization unless it has a Charity Navigator rating. And at the time, we're rating 9,000 organizations out of 1.6 million. That feeling of inadequacy and feeling of like, wow, we're not helping not either the donors or the nonprofits in that case. We've got to get the data that we have out there so people can start making informed decisions with it. We will not overstate what we're actually putting out to the donors and the nonprofits, but we're also giving them more information so that they can be better informed in their decision, in their giving, or as I like to think about it, investments in social change.
What exactly are you rating on impact and results?
There are a multitude of different ways. I mean, an impact is a highly charged term in the sense of impact on a social outcome or an organization's capability of actually producing that. They're the sort of, at the simplest level, you have outputs, outcomes, and then potentially you have impact. We're going to start small looking at organizational outcomes and outputs. So how are you, and then what is that leading towards impact at a systemic level is probably going to be beyond what Charity Navigator is able to accomplish, because we're not able to we're looking at this from an organizational level, let's say what the nonprofit itself is doing versus the greater system, and have we reduced hunger, for example, in a certain geographic area. Whereas what we can do is provide that base level information that may be useful for a higher level study that is looking at the various different ingredients and inputs to a social challenge. We've also looked at some of the work some of our partners have been doing around cost per outcome. And so that may be one area that we do some experimentation with. Another area where there's a lot of interest and which will probably figure into some of what we do is looking at constituent voice, or how the what is the response from the beneficiaries with regard to the actual nonprofit engagement in a specific scenario. As we're spanning across a multitude of different cause areas, it's not going to be, there's not going to be a one size fits all here. And one of the things with the Encompass rating system is really to begin to experiment in this area to see what actually works and what doesn't work, and then do more of what does work. The code name for this particular project internally has always been the experimental rating system. And the goal of this is to really be iterating. And that's, again, as a design principle, was why we didn't want to do this within the STAR system, because that system's fairly static, fairly predictable. It's almost become a standard on some levels. And changing the ingredients rapidly as we were trying to figure out what was going to work didn't make sense. And so we wanted a system that was going to be a little bit more nimble, that was allow us to do this kind of testing and figure out what works, and also not just what works in terms of what's good, but also how does it, what resonates with the with both the donors and the nonprofits that they're supporting.
We'll be right back. After the break, Michael Thatcher explains how program expenses will play into the new ratings.
If you like what you're hearing, share it with friends and colleagues on social media. Use the hashtag FreshResearch or retweet the Nonprofit Times link, and you'll be eligible to win a book from the NPT Library. Another way for folks to find the show, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're interested in nonprofit events and news, then consider checking out the Whole Whale podcast. For over 5 years, we've covered topics related to marketing, technology, and communications in the social impact space. Recently, we've covered things like tackling Facebook fundraising, why you shouldn't build that mobile app, and why right now is the best time to start your capital campaign. So find us using the Whole Whale on whatever podcast app that you choose to use.
Subscribe to any or all three of the free weekly e-newsletters offered by the Nonprofit Times. There's NPT Weekly, an extension of the Nonprofit Times print magazine featuring general nonprofit management and more. Instant Fundraising is designed to help development directors raise more money by profiling the latest news and technology. Exempt focuses on financial management, covering areas like plan giving, insurance, and banking. Visit the nonprofittimes.com/e-newsletters today. Now more with Michael Thatcher, President and CEO of Charity Navigator.
In the finance and accountability beacon, that takes into account program expense ratio, which has always been kind of a sore spot for some charities. There's been criticism about not being able to quantify planned giving, or as we talked about earlier, different nonprofits between food banks and gift in kind organizations are going to have very different program expense ratios than, say, hospitals. Is that something that you thought about eliminating or changing as far as incorporating the program expense?
So program expenses is there, right? In other words, we're still looking at that. It's a portion of the score right now. It's one metric out of five. The thinking there, and we've set a pretty low bar. So, passing is 70% of expenses should be going to program. You can actually still get a Give with Confidence certification even if you fail that, right? So you can be between 50% and 70% program expense and still get high enough scores on the other metrics to get a passing grade. We did set a low bar of 50%. So if less than half of your money is going to program, we felt that was probably too little And based on our experience and also just looking at statistical data, it's a tiny portion of nonprofits that fall into that. It's less than 5% that actually are less than 50%. And there's usually something else going on at that time. So the goal was, we're going to include it, particularly because it's something that is being demanded by the donor population. It's one metric out of five right now. As we bring more beacons online, it will be less important. Each new beacon that comes on is going to essentially dilute the value of any individual metric. And so our goal is, rather than say we're not looking at program expense, we are including it as a starting point, and we are allowing other things to take greater value and greater importance as we go forward. Ultimately, I think financial health is something that's important within a nonprofit. It is clearly more important that they're able to produce results, but we also want to make sure that they're going to be standing in and around over the next couple of years, if you're looking at it as an investment. Yeah. And I realize that, you know, that may not satisfy everyone, but it's we're trying to dance a delicate dance of moving towards something that really gets to looking at nonprofit effectiveness and bringing along a population that really does care about that one particular metric as we grow and we move forward and move away from it.
Will the star ratings eventually get retired? Will those organizations that have stars now eventually be migrated to get a Encompass score?
It's a great question, and it's something that we haven't totally figured out which way it's going to go, because one of the things that the star rating right now really is looking at financial performance and accountability and transparency. And so the other elements of the beacons, as we start bringing them online, and we've already had questions from star-rated nonprofits, what about the other beacons, and will you be including this in our ratings? And what we're initially, as we're actually proving out the metrics, we won't run that into the star system, but there will be a point in time where we're going to have to rationalize the two systems and either migrate or deprecate, I guess would be the other. We don't have enough data yet to really make that decision, but we know that that decision is probably coming within a 24-month cycle.
So about the end of, say, 2022, it sounds like would be the goal for this, for the Encompass system, have all four beacons up and running.
And we're going to make it very much our intention to try and get, as we start collecting this other data, we will want the star-rated nonprofits to give us that data, or give that data to the third party who's actually collecting it. In fact, many of them already are. And so I think that could be part of what influences our decision as to which way we go with it. The other thing that's interesting that we, and this was really based on the feedback we got back from donor groups and nonprofit user groups. We did a lot of surveying as we were going, and that is, the Encompass system is a 0 to 100 point system versus the star system, which also has numbers beneath it, but is really looking at 1, 2, 3, and 4 stars with real sharp breaks between each star, right? Your perception of 4 stars is very different than your perception of 3 stars, even though there could be a wide variant in the numbers that actually add up to 3 or add up to 4. And so we got pretty consistent and highly supportive feedback saying, go with a numeric system. It gives us the impression of a rating that is based on an algorithm versus a popularity score, which oftentimes scores, star-rated systems end up being more subjective human perception of an organization. Is it a good restaurant? Is it it's on that level. And so we're also looking to see, did all our pre-work actually pan out, and is this going to resonate well once it's out in the wild right now? And it's very much out, and so we're starting to gather that feedback.
And is the goal to rate every charity at some point? And you're at about 160,000 total now, but there's 10 times as many nonprofits in the U.S. Is it a matter of getting those e-filed 990s and just rating everyone, or you're kind of just picking and choosing?
I think the goal would be to be able to evaluate anyone who wants to be evaluated, as well as make a scan of the available data sets and provide some sense of meaning out of it. It's a little bit like you want your phone book to be representative of the actual population, not just a subset.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, I think one of the values of the ratings and of the evaluation is that it actually helps surface an organization so that they become more discoverable to their constituents and potential donors. I mean, we've seen that clearly with the star rating system, and we're seeing it now with Encompass, and that it enables a nonprofit to raise their profile and say, hey, I've got third-party validation of my work. Look at what I'm doing here. You can see that with the use of the seals from Candid. You can see it, you know, certifications and third-party validation is really important, particularly for establishing trust and credibility.
Yeah, I think people might be surprised to know that donors have given $7 million over the last few months through Charity Navigator's website based on those kinds of things.
It's huge. I mean, and I think that's the generosity and the just how much giving has happened is stunning to me. You know, the fact that, you know, we have a giving basket which facilitates the online transaction of making a donation directly from charitynavigator.org. And $7 million has gone through that, and it's gone to some of the organizations that have been on our lists, you know, the COVID list or the civil rights hot topic. But it's also going to just a really large number of nonprofits. And so donors are being generous. And I think that's just, it's a wonderful thing because people are not necessarily doing well right now. I mean, this is a really challenging moment.
Yeah, there's still a lot of need out there in some sectors for sure.
Yeah.
How many users or members of Charity Navigator are there? Like how many, either through on an annual basis or monthly basis, how many website visitors do you guys get?
It's a little over 10 million annually in terms of visits. And in terms of registered users, it's about 900,000 registered users. But the giving, so for example, in the period March to, let's say, end of July, of that $7 million that was donated, that was from over 23,000 donors, going to maybe 7,500 unique nonprofits. So it's it just shows you it's worth having a lot of organizations in your database because people are looking to support them. And if you can provide a meaningful way for them to do that, that's a good thing.
Is there anything that you think people should know about either the new system or Charity Navigator in general that you think is surprising or under the radar?
I think one of the things that people may not realize about Charity Navigator is that, you know, we are very data-driven, very much looking at how much, you know, really sort of increasing the impact of what we do and how we do things. We're also doing that with a very small team. So there are 23 people that work at Charity Navigator. There's not an army of analysts. There's actually a small group of really dedicated souls that work pretty hard. And it's been, I think the period that we've been through and that we are still in has been something that's been a real sort of unifying element to all of what we do at Charity Navigator, and just super, super proud of the team and the dedication and the effort to get to where we are right now. Yeah, and there's a lot more to come. You know, on some levels, we were saying we've gotten this first part out, and now we're at the beginning.
Yeah, I think people might not realize also that Charity Navigator is a charity itself.
Thank you for calling that out. In other words, we live off of the benefit of others who are seeing value in what we do. And we are primarily donor-supported, small individual donations of people that are using the Charity Navigator website. So it's been, that too has been very gratifying to receive the generosity of the American public.
For sure. Michael, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Mark, thank you. Really enjoyed being able to talk to you.
Take care.
That's our episode for today. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share the Fresh Research link on Twitter or Facebook to be eligible to win something from the NPT Library. You can also share on social media with the hashtag #FreshResearch. And if you like what you hear, please rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Fresh Research, a podcast from the Nonprofit Times, spotlighting research and trends in the philanthropic sector. Till next time, keep up with us at thenonprofittimes.com for all your nonprofit news.